Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board with us today as once again we face the issues. Let me remind you, as we face the issues on this broadcast each and every day, we do so from a central biblicist worldview. We do not pay attention to and or adhere to the political correctness that's in society today. We believe that a Christian, a conservative, and a Christian ought to look at what the Word of God says. Realize that God created the home, and He created the government, and He created the church, and He did so in that order. So anything that affects in any fashion the home, the church, or government is the right and authority and the responsibility of the child of God to delve into and to defend the faith once delivered to the saints. The Word of God is the centrality of truth. You open the scripture from Genesis 1:1 through the book of the Revelation, and you find truth. In fact, it was Jesus that said in John 8:31-32, as He speaks to His disciples, He said, "If you continue in My word, then you're My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am truth." But ladies and gentlemen, Jesus goes farther. In John 17:17, the Lord Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." And so, ladies and gentlemen, it is the truth of the Word of God that we ought to seek in all that we do and say in every aspect and every walk of life as we serve the Lord each and every day. In fact, it was George Orwell a number of years ago that said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. That's what you find in Washington today. If you don't believe that, just go back and look at some of the statements made on the Socialist, Marxist, Democratic presidential candidates debate last evening. We'll talk about that more in just a moment in our monologue. But ladies and gentlemen, it was the 15th century church reformer and theologian Jan Hus that said this: "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." And so I charge you, ladies and gentlemen, with that responsibility, and I pray that you will accept it in the right sense, that you're going to seek the truth and listen to the truth and learn the truth, live the truth, tell the truth, defend the truth, even if we have to do so to the point of death. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, we're living in a society based on the Word of God that we will see the days before us where there will be an absolute open persecution and prosecution and the pursuit of those as Christians that seek to tell the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the equipment packages also for the homeowner with brands LaConda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of professional as well as homeowners landscape and lawn care equipment and hurricane preparedness equipment. They have a full line of Honda generators and a knowledgeable staff to answer all your questions about all of the power backup equipment and power equipment that's sold at Tools for Time. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's the location, ladies and gentlemen, where the 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory flying 24/7 can be found. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find Tools for Time, toolsfortime.com, toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, our issue that we'll be talking about today is voting God's way, voting God's way. You know, we talk about every vote counts, and it does. But, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that we need to vote according to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. And God's Word tells us exactly how we ought to vote. No ifs and ands and buts about it. No uncertainty about it. I don't know if you're familiar with it or not. We'll look at it in just a moment in our monologue and getting into our dialogue and discussion. But let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, let's not forget it. You can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. And if you're out of the area code, it's 904-831-0917. That telephone call gets you directly through to our studios and right to our microphones so that we can have dialogue and discussion with you today on this very critical issue called voting God's way. I want to know, ladies and gentlemen, you need not call and necessarily say that you watched the dialogue and discussion last evening with the socialist Marxist Democratic presidential candidates. But if you did, let me just postulate a few things by way of my monologue to get into our interview today with a special guest that we'll be talking with in just a moment on this broadcast. But if you watched the presidential debate last evening from the Democratic socialist Marxist position, I believe that every American should be able to see without any exception that each and every one of the candidates stands for a plan to fundamentally, radically change America. And if they're elected, that's exactly what they'll do. You know, Barack Hussein Obama said that if elected, he would fundamentally change America, and he did. And I believe that's the focus and the goal of each and every one of the socialist Marxist candidates that's running on the Democratic platform today. Let me just give you a little insight if you're not familiar with it. By the way, I like the way they had it set up last evening, if I can say that in pun. Each of the six candidates standing there, and if they wanted to be able to speak, they'd hold their hand up. And on one occasion, it was Joe Biden that said, he kept waving his hand, aren't you going to talk with me? Aren't you going to ask me a question? He felt left out because everybody else was waving their arm a little higher and got to be recognized in the dialogue and the discussion. But each and every one of the candidates, ladies and gentlemen, that was on the platform last evening, the six Democratic Socialist Marxist candidates, will raise taxes on every citizen. They will undermine our Constitution. They will implement the new Green Deal, which, if put in place, will destroy all coal and oil and natural gas productions and put millions and millions of workers out of jobs in America. If any one of those elected, they plan to make America a socialist nation with free education, free medical care, even for illegals, free child care. Illegals will be able to vote. Government will control everything that you do and say, all the work and any workplace that you go to. Government will control how much you can earn, what you can get, what you can eat, et cetera, et cetera. America will become a socialist Marxist nation, ladies and gentlemen, if any one of those candidates are put into office as president. They will destroy our First Amendment rights. They will destroy any religious liberties and freedom of speech. They will destroy our Second Amendment right, the right to defend ourselves as a people and as a nation. This is taking place, ladies and gentlemen, in Virginia today. They just barely missed the bullet in the past few days with one of the bills, but they've already instituted several bills that time will not allow us to get into. We've done that on previous broadcast in relationship to destroying the Second Amendment right in the state of Virginia. And ladies and gentlemen, right here in the state of Florida, there are over 40 gun bills that if any one or two of them passes, it will put us in the same category, the same position that the state of Virginia is in, infringing on the right to keep and bear arms, the infringement on our Second Amendment right. And ladies and gentlemen, Bloomberg, as you recall from that dialogue and discussion last evening, wants to control, and he's done this back when he was mayor of New York. He has insisted that the government has the right to tell you how much sugar you can put in a soft drink, what size soft drink you can order at a restaurant, whether or not you can have salt on your table or not, et cetera, et cetera. That might sound far out, but that's Bloomberg's position. And ladies and gentlemen, the elephant in the room last evening, as I watched it, the 800-pound gorilla in the room, if you will, was Pete Buttigieg, as they call him, Mayor Pete. He's the open-in-your-face sodomite candidate, and no one wants to confront him and his immoral, unholy, ungodly character. In fact, the media loves him. The LGBTQ agenda and the network across America in that group have donated millions upon millions of dollars to his campaign. They want to see the first in-your-face homosexual married to a man president of the United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, here's the bottom line. We must decide on a candidate that will honor God, honor our flag, honor our nation, honor our Constitution. And honoring the Constitution, ladies and gentlemen, as it is written, as it is intended without it being a moving, growing, evolving document. And unfortunately, that's the problem we find in many of the candidates today, whether it's local, state, or national. There's an idea that somehow, some way, the Constitution is an evolving, ever-changing document that should be changed with society. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to elect candidates in office, local, state, and national, that will protect family and our faith and the future of the United States of America. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible gives us very clear standards for candidates that we, the people, especially as Christians, must select and lead us as a people locally and on a state level and nationally. And I'll take just a moment, because we have a guest that we want to interview today that I want you to hear from, but I want to set the stage of what we're doing and why it's important for us to vote God's way. In Exodus chapter 18 and verse 21, the Bible says, "Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of faith, men of truth, hating covetousness, and place such over them to be rulers over thousands, rulers over hundreds, rulers over fifties, and rulers over tens." Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is very, very clear that we must have good men that are capable. There must be the capability. The Bible says able men. That is, they have the capability to lead. They're qualified, if you will. They're capable and competent to carry out the task that they're elected to. They're qualified to do the jobs that they're elected to be placed into. It's not as some of these that's on a national scene that are as unqualified as they can be, especially when it comes to any biblical standard. But the Bible says there must be men that are capable. Secondly, there must be men of conviction. It says, such as fear, that means to all reverence God. That is, a man that recognizes God and will govern by the principles of God as set forth in God's word. Men such as fear God. And I believe that's one of the missing elements today, just one of them. And many of the candidates on a national level, especially as you find Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and many of the others that are running the socialist, Marxist, Democratic field today, must have men that are capable, the Bible says, men that have conviction, men that have character. The scripture says, men of truth. This speaks of reputation and reliability. You can trust what they say. Elizabeth Warren, everything she says, I believe, is an absolute contrived, designed purpose of deceiving the populace. And fourthly, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says, men that hate covetousness. That means that they're in control of their passions. They have godly control in their lives, hating covetousness. They're not grasping. They're not greedy. They're not wanting to serve on the board of an organization in the Ukraine where they can make hundreds of millions of dollars. They're not greedy and grasping where they make deals behind the scenes that will be detrimental for Americans, but popular for them and will influence financially in their lives. Ladies and gentlemen, we can search the scriptures and find men that honored God and yet served under five kings, like Daniel did. A good example. Ladies and gentlemen, we have with us today on Let's Face the Issues a man that meets the biblical standards for holding office and to lead us in the state of Florida. He's my friend. He's my brother in Christ. He's a candidate for District 44 in Central Florida. Let me introduce to you, ladies and gentlemen, a friend of mine, Bruno Portugelli. And I may have slightly missed the proper pronunciation of Bruno's name, but I've known him for quite some time, and I'm thankful. Bruno, thank you for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues.
Hello, my brother. It's a pleasure to be here with you guys. Thank you so much for the privilege to be with you and with your listeners as well.
Well, I'm praying that during the course of this broadcast today, Bruno, that our listeners will understand the seriousness of our vote, that we need to vote in a godly fashion. Go vote according to the scripture. And ladies and gentlemen, let me say this, and perhaps you're saying, well, he's from District 44, and that's not in our immediate area. But when we elect a candidate for office, when we place one in office, whether it be the House of Representatives or the Senate, whether it be on a local or national or state level, that individual, once he's sworn into office, is representing the entire state, represents all of us. Right. Let me just, Bruno, if I may, take a moment to give a little overview of your background for our listeners to understand. Bruno is president of the Florida Christian University, a major university in the state of Florida operating out of Orlando. He's the CEO of a senior living community. Brulo is a licensed attorney. He's a graduate from the Coastal School of Law right here in Jacksonville. He's the president of New Beginnings Global Outreach, a not-for-profit outreach to provide for those in need. Bruno speaks three languages. I'm doing good, Bruno, to speak one. But anyway, Bruno speaks English and Portuguese and Spanish. Bruno is married to his beautiful wife, Stephanie. Bruno is vice president of the Council of Private Colleges of America and a board member of the Florida Association of Post-Secondary Schools and Colleges. And I could go on and on and on, but Bruno, if I gave all of your bio, I wouldn't have time to interview you and talk with you on the air today. Simply put, I'm thankful. So, Bruno, welcome to our show today. Let me ask you to do this, Bruno, if you would, for our listeners. Take a moment and just basically reintroduce yourself beyond what I have said and just tell our listeners, why do you feel the need to run for public office? You've got a plate full. You're serving the Lord in every category and possible opportunity. Why do you want to put yourself in the position of being elected and some loving you and some hating you, as is normal for political office holders?
Thanks again, brother. And absolutely, this is not something that I have to do. This is not something that I feel I have so much going on in my life at the moment. You know, whether it's running the college, running the other businesses that I'm involved with, I have a passion though for people, and I have a passion for politics. I have a passion for government. You know, to serve, not necessarily for politics, a passion for government. You know, to be able to do good, to affect change. So I'm always looking at opportunities to do that. So since a young age, you know, I've been involved in a lot of different civic, charitable organizations, running some of those organizations as well, serving on different boards because of my love for people and my love to serve. And I'm constantly asking myself how I can be most effective with my time and how I can love people, serve people, in a greater capacity. So, you know, my family and I, we've been fortunate to live the American dream. I was not born in the U.S. I was born in Brazil. I came to the U.S. in 1999. Didn't speak a single word of English when I came here. And, you know, I had obviously challenges that came with that. But this nation, this state of Florida, has afforded us so many incredible opportunities, so many reasons to want to give back, just do something for the state, just give back and contribute in any way that I can. So, you know, I see what's happening in our government. I see what's happening in our divisive and polarized, political atmosphere at the moment. I see how, certain groups are voting. I see how socialists are basically taking over our politics, our political system, and that frightens me. And it frightens me. It frightens me not just because of our generation, because of us, but also and specifically, especially for future generations. I'm worried that our current system and the career politicians that are in the system are taking that opportunity away for us, you know, and for future generations. So, you know, I'm like I said, I'm constantly asking myself, is there something that I can do? Can I do it better than the person that's doing it now? Is this something that God wants me to do? Is it aligned with my purpose in any way? Is it aligned with, you know, my God-given purpose and the talent that God has given me? And I felt in this case that yes, that you know I should be, I shouldn't just look from the outside. I shouldn't just complain, but I should get in the arena and I should do something about it. So I decided to get in, and I'm very happy that I made a decision because I see that God is, you know, honoring me for that decision as well. I took a step of faith. From the very moment that I decided to do it, I relinquished all of my desires, all of my, all of my wants and needs to God and said, God, if this is your will, if you want me to do it, then open up the doors. If it's Amen. Not, please close them shut, you know, so that I know that it's clear for me that I should not do it. And I see God opening up the doors and I see things happening and you know, just, God is being who he is. He's being faithful.
Amen. Bruno, I understand that, in fact, you need not go into a great deal of detail and will not call the name because I do not want to give airtime and recognition. But, ladies and gentlemen, the individual that's holding the seat 9, District 44, is what I would put in the category, and Bruno may not couch it this way, I'd put in the category of a liberal Democrat. And so I think we need to see a conservative Christian Republican go into that office. But Bruno, I believe you have one opposition that you'll be facing off with in the primary. We need not go into details with that, but ladies and gentlemen, he is in a face-off with the primary. But based on my research, Bruno, I think that God has placed you in a unique position at this unique time, that you have the capabilities, the qualifications, and the biographical that far surpass the one that's facing you in the primary. But, ladies and gentlemen, I say that because there's a major need for we as Christians in the state of Florida, and let me just say, yay, in America, that we need to pray for our Christian candidates, pray that God will give them wisdom, pray that God will give them the financial backing and support that they might be elected. Because let's face it, Bloomberg has proven that finances make a vast difference in what you're capable of doing in a political campaign. But, Bruno, I say that God is more able than the dollars would be in putting a candidate in office that he would have to be in office. Bruno, let me ask you to do this. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. We're interviewing the candidate for District 44 in Central Florida. And Bruno is talking about what he would like to do and why he is running for office. But Bruno, let me ask you a question, and I think I have the answer, but I want our listeners to understand it. What do you think are some of the pressing issues in the state of Florida that you feel that God could use you to effectuate change and to make better?
Yes, I am all about family, family issues, pro-constitution, pro-business, pro-education, and I see a lot of those things deteriorating in our country, in our society, and specifically in the state of Florida as well. Although we're fortunate, we're blessed to have a Republican majority that has been doing everything they can to protect, those individual liberties that we have in the ability for our economy to thrive as well. So, some of the biggest issues for me, first and foremost, it's the right to life. It's common sense. To me, it's above all else. It doesn't matter if you have a thriving economy. It doesn't matter if you have nothing else matters. It pales in comparison to our right to the sanctity of life. And that, to me, is very important. So that's something that I'm running on. I don't shy away from it. It's all over my Facebook. It's all over my webpage. I've been sending emails about it, and I'm loud and clear about that. There are other issues pertaining to not only my district, but pertaining to the state of Florida as well, as a whole. We need to work on infrastructure. We need to work on public safety. There are a lot of things. I mean, District 44 is a very privileged district where we have Disney, we have Universal Studios, we have some affluent neighborhoods in regions. We have Dr. Phillips, we have Wintermere, we have Winter Garden, Ocoee, Gotha, Williamsburg, Hunter's Creek, over 150,000 people living in the district. And it's an affluent region with a lot of, great places to go and just a great place for your to raise a family. However, our safety is under attack as well. My own house was broken into not too long ago. I live in a small gated community and several homes in my community were broken into. That's something that needs to be addressed. But I am all for the Constitution. So some of the most important issues for me are issues pertaining to our individual liberties, right? So individual liberties, the rights that we find in our Constitution, Second Amendment rights, freedom of expression, freedom of religion, obviously, is very important to me. Specifically, freedom of religion based on my beliefs, based on what I do. As you mentioned, I run a college, Florida Christian University, and you and I have seen the attacks. You and I have experienced, you know, firsthand, you know, you running a college as well, a very well-known institution in Jacksonville, and reputable institution in Jacksonville. We have faced issues in our country, and we see a certain discrimination against, you know, religious institutions. And that's something that we've dealt with for a long time, and that needs to be addressed. So when it comes to the economy as well, you know, that's I believe in limited government. I believe that a government should provide the necessary things so that we can thrive as an economy, so that we can allow businesses to be businesses, allow businesses to grow. And for that to happen, we have to have a very very conducive environment so that we can boost economic prosperity. And for that, we have to, you know, make sure that we have the lowest tax environment. When we have a great tax environment in the state of Florida, but we have to continue to ensure that we keep the lowest, you know, one of the lowest tax environments in the entire country. Reduce burdensome regulations, unnecessary regulations. Just, you know, there's no need. I think the best legislative session sometimes is the session that we don't pass any laws. It's the session that we just leave things as they are, unless it's, you know, something that is threatening, threatening our individual liberties and threatening life, which is something that is being heard today, actually, by the Florida House, a bill on a parental consent, you know, which I believe it's going to pass. I think we all think it's going to pass. It's already passed the Senate. So I'm looking forward to seeing that. That's one step closer to what we need. It doesn't solve the entire problem, but I think with this bill passing, we're going to be one step closer to where we need to be. So there are a lot of issues, you know, when it comes to education as well. That's something that's, you know, that I'm passionate about. I work in education, in the higher education space, but I'm also passionate about K through 12 education, and I believe in promoting school choice. I believe in improving our educational system. And there are many ways of doing that. One of the things that we have to focus on is career readiness, making sure that we're preparing our students for, you know, the jobs of the future. A lot is changing. Our population is growing at a very rapid pace, and if we don't keep up with it, you know, we're going to be losing a lot of the. We're going to be losing our jobs. We're going to have machines taking over everything that we do in the near future. So we have to prepare ourselves, prepare our students for that future, which is imminent. It's already happening.
Absolutely.
You know, by 2030, one half of today's occupations won't exist. You know, sweeping changes in technology, automation, robotics, you name it, all kinds of things. And those things will be reshaping the job market as we know today. So if we, you know, if we don't keep up with the demands of the market, we will fail to keep pace with the changes and set out, you know, students for failure. So we have to. This is the time for us to invest in, you know, STEM education, science, technology, engineering, math, you know, in career readiness as well.
Well, I'm thankful that you're taking the time to visit with us on the air today. We're going to take, and we've got about 30 seconds, and we'll take a 1 minute break at the top of the hour. Bruno, let's touch on this, and then after the top of the hour break, we'll come back to it. Tell us your position on the Constitution. Should we look at it from the originalist position, or is it an evolving document? Think on that for a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a 1 minute break for the top of the hour news. Be right back with you for Let's Face the Issues, continuing our interview today. So don't turn your dial. Hang in there. We'll come back after the news break.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.